Sabbath blessing, everyone. Sabbath blessing to those that will be listening on other devices and later on recorded. Sabbath blessing on the Sabbath, January 14th. Oh, gotta change that day, 2023. This is our part two review of our chapter 75, entitled Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas, part 10. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more to sing our tiny tot theme of our song, Jesus Loves Me.
Sabbath blessing, my dear Rose.
Good morning, Rudy.
Sabbath blessing, my father.
Sabbath blessing, Brother Dick.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you. Same to you. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and wholly thine. On the cross you died for me, I will love and live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. If any one of the little tiny tots held by their parents or elder sibling would like to open their review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath. Thank the Sabbath day and the Sabbath words that we're about to learn in Jesus' name. Pray, amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, this is the time that we hear all the little blessings that our little ones have been for their mommy or daddy or any member of their family. If you would like to share, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. On today, mommies and daddies, little blessings, I'd like to highlight Haley. And the reason why I'm highlighting Haley today is because Haley is very enthused to share the scripture that she's learned and has asked to be able to learn more scriptures that she may be able to share them during this section. So I'm going to turn it over to Haley for a few minutes for her to go ahead and recite the first verse that she's learned and why it is important to her. Okay, Haley?
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, King James Version. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto own understanding. To me, this means that God is in control of everything, and we not to put ourselves first. Put God first.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, and that's what I'd like to share. And hope it keep her in prayer as she continues to learn and memorize these verses, may not just be in words, but in deeds, that she actually exercise these things and teach it to her little sisters and to those that she comes in contact with on a daily basis. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It is the time that we are going to review our Tiny Tots lesson from chapter 10 entitled Teaching of Christ. This is part 5 from the story about Jesus, and our dear brother will be the one to share it with you.
All right. The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 31 and 35 to 37 of the KJV. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he went over and helped him. Is that what it says? No. It says he passed by on the other side. I don't want to have anything to do with that guy. And 35-37 here. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said to him, that was the host, was the innkeeper, the fellow that ran the hotel, take care of him, and whatsoever that thou spendest more when I come again, I'll repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And he, the lawyer, said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go, and do thou likewise. Bible verses for our, what's this, water topic. Are taken from the book of John, 3:5-6. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew, and knew that he had been a long time in that case, saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man, or sick man, answered him, crippled man, I should say, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And in the next slide, we'll find out what happened. As he lay thus, now I guess we've switched back to the fellow on the way to Jericho. And as he lay thus, a priest, and then a Levite from the temple at Jerusalem, came that way. But instead of helping the poor man, they passed by on the other side of the road. These men had been chosen to minister to God's people, and they ought to have been like him, full of mercy and kindness. But their hearts were cold and unfeeling. After a time, a Samaritan came near. The Samaritans were despised and hated by the Jews. To one of these people, a Jew would not give so much as a drink of water or a morsel of bread. That's pretty bad. But the Samaritan did not stop to think of this. He did not stop even to think of the robbers who might be watching for him. There lay the stranger, bleeding and ready to die. The Samaritan took off his own coat. And wrapped it about him. He gave him his own wine to drink and poured oil on his wounds. He had a first aid kit. He put him on his own beast, his donkey, and brought him to an inn or a hotel and took care of him all night. Next slide, please. The next morning, before going away, he paid the innkeeper to care for him until he should be strong again. So Jesus told the story. Then turning to the lawyer, he asked, which now of these thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? The lawyer answered, he that showed mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. That's Luke 10:35-37. So Jesus taught that every person who needs our help is our neighbor. We are to treat him just as we ourselves would like to be treated. The priest and the Levite pretended to keep God's commandments, but it was the Samaritan who really kept them. His heart was kind and loving. Story of Jesus, page 65.
Amen. So next Sabbath, we will begin with a new chapter of our lesson entitled Sabbath Keeping in our Tiny Tot Lesson Book, The Story About Jesus. And that will take place January 21st, 2023. And we are going to continue with the review section for the questions that will be asked. And our dear brother will be the one to share it with you.
Chapter 17, Nicodemus. Jesus continued, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. By nature, the heart is evil. And who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one." Job 14:4. "No human invention can find a remedy for the sinning soul. The carnal mind is enmity against God." Carnal there means an earthly, worldly person. "For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies," Romans 8:7 and Matthew 15:19. Those are the kind of things that humans have in their hearts and practice in their lives when they're not followers of Jesus Christ. "The fountain of the heart must be purified before the streams can become pure. He who is trying to reach heaven by his own works in keeping the law is attempting an impossibility. There is no safety for one who has merely a legal religion, a form of godliness. The Christian life is not a modification or improvement of the old, but a transformation of character, of nature. There is a death to self and sin and a new life altogether. This change can be brought about only by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit." Nicodemus was still perplexed, and Jesus used the wind to illustrate his meaning. "The wind bloweth whither it listeth," or wherever it wants to. "Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." You can't tell where the Holy Spirit is or where it's coming or going, but by a person's actions, you know. That's Desire of Ages 173. Is that it, Jet Rose?
You can continue where it tells you about the wind, where it says, "While the wind in itself is invisible." We continue in the review.
Oh, you must have switched the screen while I blinked. I didn't notice it. I'm waiting for something different to happen here. Okay. "While the wind is itself invisible," let's let Joel in, "it produces effects that are seen and felt. So the work of the Spirit upon the soul will reveal itself in every act of him who has felt its saving power. When the Spirit of God takes possession of the heart, it transforms or changes the life. Sinful thoughts are put away. You don't think about sinful things anymore. Evil deeds are renounced. You don't do those naughty things you used to do. Love, humility, and peace take the place of anger, envy, and strife. Joy takes the place of sadness. The countenance reflects the light of heaven. No one sees the hand that lifts the burden or beholds the light descend from the courts above. The blessing comes when by faith the soul surrenders itself to God. Then that power, which no human eye can see, creates a new being in the image of God. It is impossible for finite minds to comprehend the work of redemption. Its mystery exceeds human knowledge. Yet he who passes from death to life realizes that it is a divine reality. The beginning of redemption we may know here through a personal experience. Its results reach through the eternal ages. While Jesus was speaking, some gleams of truth penetrated the ruler's mind. The softening, subduing influence of the Holy Spirit impressed his heart. Yet he did not fully understand the Savior's words. He was not so much impressed by the necessity of a new birth as by the manner of its accomplishment. He said wonderingly, "How can these things be?" Desire of Age 173. Now, there you go. Questions. How did Jesus next respond to Nicodemus? He said, "You must be born again." Nicodemus thought, "That's strange." Although he really understood what Christ meant, he pretended not to. What illustration did Jesus use from nature?
He used from the air.
That's right.
The wind blows.
He said that the wind comes and does things that we don't see the wind coming or going, but we can tell it's there because the leaves move or the house moves or something. Your hair blows. We know there's wind. Oh, yes. But when the Holy Spirit comes, it doesn't blow our hair. It makes us obey Christ's commandments. It makes us practice the golden rule. You know what the golden rule is? Whatsoever therefore ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So the golden rule tells us to do to others as we want to be done by. And that's a cleansed life when we act like that. Thank you for listening and participating.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It is time for Tiny Tots and parents to learn precious lesson in nature and the gem that lies beneath in God's creation. So let's have our listening ears, dear one, for our dear brother will be able to share it with us. This is our review of the Water of Life, Part 27, Wisdom from Above.
Proud blessings, everyone. And here's today's lesson concerning Nicodemus' talk with Jesus and how it relates with water. Research, the wind bloweth. But the Savior did not meet argument with argument. Raising his hand with solemn, quiet dignity, he pressed the truth home with greater assurance. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus knew that Christ here referred to water, baptism, and the renewing of the heart by the Spirit of God. He was convinced that he was in the presence of the one whom John the Baptist foretold. Nicodemus was still perplexed, and Jesus used the wind to illustrate his meaning. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The wind is heard among the branches of the trees, rustling the leaves and flowers, yet it is invisible, and not man knows whence it comes or whither it goes. So, with the work of the Holy Spirit upon the heart, it can no more be explained than can the movements of the wind. A person may not be able to tell the exact act, time, or place, or to trace all the circumstances in the process of conversion. But this does not prove him to be the unconverted. By an agency as unseen as the wind, Christ is in upon the heart. Little by little, perhaps unconsciously to the receiver, impressions are made that tend to draw the soul to Christ. These may be received through meditating upon him, through reading the scriptures, or through hearing the word from the living preacher. Suddenly, as the Spirit comes with more direct appeal, the soul gladly surrenders itself to Jesus. By many, this is called sudden conversion. It is the result of long wooing by the Spirit of God, a patient, protracted process. While the wind is itself invisible, it produces effects that are seen and felt. So the work of the Spirit upon the soul will reveal itself in every act of him who has felt its saving power. When the Spirit of God takes possession of the heart, it transforms the life. Sinful thoughts are put away. Evil deeds are renounced. Love, humility, and peace take the place of anger, envy, and strife. Joy takes the place of sadness, and the countenance reflects the light of heaven. No one sees the hand that has lifts the burden, or beholds the light descend from the courts above. The blessing comes when by faith the soul surrenders itself to God. Then that power which no human eye can see creates a new being in the image of God. It is impossible for finite minds to comprehend the work of redemption. Its mystery exceeds human knowledge, yet he who passes from death to life realizes that it is a divine reality. The beginning of redemption we may know here through a personal experience. Its results reach through the eternal ages. The Desire of Ages, pages 171 to 173. The bottom part says, the wind bloweth. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and remember this. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou bearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. John 3:8. Christ uses the wind as a symbol of the Spirit of God. As the wind bloweth whither it listeth, and we cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so it is with the Spirit of God. We do not know through whom it will be manifested. Second Selected Messages, page 15. Right. And here's another one. Research. Message. While Jesus was speaking, some gleams of truth penetrated the ruler's mind. The softening, subduing influence of the Holy Spirit impressed his heart, yet he did not fully understand the Savior's words. He was not so much impressed by the necessity of the new birth as by the matter of its accomplishments. He said wonderingly, "How can these things be? Art thou master of Israel and knowest not these things?" Jesus asked. Surely one entrusted with the religious instruction of the people should not be ignorant of truths so important. His words conveyed the lesson that instead of feeling irritated over the plain words of truth, Nicodemus should have had a very humble opinion of himself because of his spiritual ignorance. Yet Christ spoke with such solemn dignity, both look and tone expressed such earnest love that Nicodemus was not offended as he realized his humiliating condition. The Jews whom Jesus had driven from the temple claimed to be children of Abraham, but they fled from the Savior's presence because they could not enjoy the glory of God which was manifested in him. Thus they gave evidence that they were not fitted by the grace of God to participate in the sacred services of the temple. They were zealous to maintain and appearance of holiness, but they neglected holiness apart. While they were sticklers for the letter of the law, they were constantly violating its spirit. Their great need was that very change which Christ had been explained to Nicodemus. a new moral birth, a cleansing from sin, and a renewing of knowledge and holiness. The Desire, pages page 173 to 174. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 51:10. And on the side, Ed, is a diagram of the kidneys and urinary system, the place in the body where waste goes. The kidneys are the main organ that rids the body of impurities. The kidneys cleanse the blood. Oh, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Psalm 51:2. And I'll return it back to Mom.
Amen. And remember, little ones. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible. So, amen. Thank you, little one. Our opening song to our theme is entitled Near the Cross, found in number 312. If you would like to join in singing the hymn, you can unmute your mic to do so, dear ones. Jesus, keep me near the cross, dear of precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain, in the cross, in the cross, be my till the soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There a bright and morning star shed its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. Tell my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Amen.
Amen.
Hear the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory and ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Near the cross I watch and wait, open trust in ever, till I reach the golden strand, just beyond the river, in the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If anyone would like to be able to help the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests to open our reviews family section, may you unmute your mic to do so. Dear one.
Sabbath blessings, everybody.
Sabbath.
Sabbath blessings, Sister Shaka.
Blessings.
Thank you, God, for waking us up this morning. Please protect the people who in this Sabbath. And please protect the people who's not in this Sabbath. They can come back for the seventh day. Please protect the word that we're about to learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from our lesson book, The Desire of All Ages. Memory verse CD, volume 3. The scripture is taken from Psalm 50, verses 14 through 15 from the King James Version.
Offer unto God thanksgiving and praise.
Amen. Let us continue. Welcome to all the precious brethren that are coming in. So what have we learned in ways we have grown this week, dear ones, before we hear the answer to the questions, your comments, or anything you would like to share with your dear remnant family? We will review part one from last week, our lesson before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas, part 10, in our study book, The Desired Ages. If anyone would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
The Desire of Ages, page 714. Art thou then the Son of God? They asked with one voice. He says unto them, ye say that I am. They cried out with
what
need we any there
any further
witness for we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. The Sire of Ages, page 714, page.
Paragraph
3.
Amen. Good job.
Continuing.
And in continuing, The Desire of Ages, page 714, paragraph 4.
And so by thou.
The third.
Condemnation of the
Jewish authorities.
Jesus was to die all that was now
necessary.
They thou
thought
was for the Romans to
ratify
this
condemnation
deliver him into their hand. The Isaiah of Ages, page 714, paragraph 4.
Amen.
So the next slide, please.
The desire of
ages. Go ahead, Josh. I'll bubble down.
The desire of ages, page 714. Then came the third scene of abuse and mockery, worse even than that received from the ignorant rabble. In the very presence of the priests and rulers of with their ascension, this took place. Every feeling of sympathy or humanity had gone out of their hearts. If their arguments were weak and failed to silence his voice, they had other weapons, such as in all ages have been used to silence heretics. Heretics, thank you. Suffering and violence and death. Desire of Ages, page 714, paragraph 5.
The Desire of Ages, page 715. When the condemnation of Jesus was pronounced by the judges, a satanic fury took possession of the people. The roar of voices was like that of wild beasts. The crowd made a rush toward Jesus, crying, "He is guilty. Put him to death." Next slide, please. Continuing. Had it not been for the Roman soldiers, Jesus would not have lived to be nailed to the cross of Calvary. He would have been torn in pieces before his judges had not Roman authority interfered and by force of arms restrained the violence of the mob. The Desire of Ages, page 715, paragraph 1.
Desire of Ages, page 715, paragraph 2. Even men were angry at the brutal treatment of one against whom nothing had been proved. The Roman officers declared that the Jews is pronouncing condemnation upon Jesus were infringing upon the Roman power, and that it was even against the Jewish law to condemn a man to death upon his own testimony. This intervention brought a momentary lull in the proceedings, but the Jewish leaders were dead alike to pity and to shame. Amen.
Mm-hmm. The Desire of Ages, page 715. Priests and rulers forgot the dignity of their office and abused the Son of God with foul epithets. They taunted him with his parentage. They declared that his presumption in proclaiming himself the Messiah made him deserving of the most ignominious death. Next slide, please. Continuing, the most dissolute men engaged in infamous abuse of the Savior. An old garment was thrown over his head, and his persecutors struck him in the face, saying, "Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?" When the garment was removed, one poor wretch spat in his face. Desire of Ages, page 715, paragraph 3.
Mm. The Tsar of Ages, page 715. The angels of God faithfully recorded every insult in look, word, and act against their beloved commander. One day, the base men who scorned and spat upon the calm, pale face of Christ will look upon it in its glory, shining brighter than the sun. The Tsar of Ages, page 715, paragraph 4. Amen.
Amen. So let us consider the verses for our review section taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James. Was sanctified, O Lord God, in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you, O reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. And with that, dear ones, what have we learned in ways we have grown? We have now all the questions that we reserve, that everyone may be able to participate and share, to edify the little ones, and to come to an understanding of the part 10 of our lesson. For those that are not able to see the screen, they are in other devices where they can't listen, I will reread the 6th question that we have, and if you are moved to be able to share, you can be able to do so by unmuting your mic, dear ones. Number 1, who is the main character or characters? Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And the last one, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to type it in the room, if it's not, may you pick up the mic and share your answer with the Dear Remnant family. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones?
I'll take the first one. Who is the main character or characters? We see here in this particular section, we see the Roman soldiers. We saw Christ, of course. We saw the priests and the rulers, and the crude mob that was abusing our Lord and Savior.
The answer to the question 2 was the main idea for the 6-hour story, the priest's verdict, and the aftermath of Jesus' trial.
The answer to number 3, where did the story take place? As we've been seeing for these past section, the story is taking place in the court of Caiaphas. Number 4, when did the story begin? And we know that this particular section of the story began when Christ was taken out of the Garden of Gethsemane.
My answer to question 5, how can I relate to the story? The rulers were enraged with the outcome of the trial. It didn't go as they'd hoped. They were hoping Christ would confess that he was a fraud, but he kept on saying that he was as the Son of God, and he was telling of the upcoming crucifixion and the day when he would return on his second coming. But still, the priest didn't take it all seriously. They thought he was just making up more lies, he's thinking that he was nothing more than just a regular man.
I'd like to add to number 5 on how could you relate to the story. It is so much to take in regards to how we see how an innocent just, it is really hard to take in. And I don't think that I could in that moment relate, because in my natural nature, it would be to fight back. But in how, taken from how we see the perfect example of how innocent, truly, truly innocent, our Lord is, and not to retaliate in any way, it gives me a solace, a peace to see what was written, that there will come a day where those people will be able to see the face that they did this to. And so I think this leads me into, what did I learn from this lesson? And I haven't learned it yet, because it's a day by day thing for me. And that is to truly trust in the Lord and not to lean on my own understanding, and to know that the battle is not ours alone, that Christ did it for us. And the best thing that we can do is not to crucify him afresh by being uncourteous or being unkind to people who are mean to us, but to remember how, just how much Christ suffered in this particular moment, and he did it for us. This morning, it just hit me so very much as we were rereading this again. And that is what I've learned from this, I'm learning, I should say, from this section of this lesson.
Amen, Sister Cece. Amen indeed.
Does anybody else would like to share what they have learned? There is someone that was present there that not even the multitude that was so being persecuted, they didn't even realize that the enemy was there and using them as puppet, like to be able to execute what he really wanted to do with the Lord. What we learn from the tiny thoughts, that the Holy Spirit also help us with our infirmities and circumstances where we are in a very trying situation. Crying out to the Lord to be able to help us could be the only way that we can see how the Spirit of the Lord was being helped by his Father. And he saw above what was happening in that room, because he came here for a mission. And keeping all of those things in mind and realizing that they really didn't know their condition, we are going to need power from on high to be able to do that. I remember when I was in a situation that was very hard. And it's different when you are just in a verbal situation, but when you're in a physical situation, it is very difficult, because your first impulse is to fight back. But if you take that moment and pray, because you really don't want to harm the individual, the Holy Spirit will give power to do so. Because I remember that I couldn't understand why I wasn't fighting back. But at the same time, because I didn't want it to fight back, the moment was given to make me realize that the person wasn't fighting me, but the circumstances that was in their life. And at that moment, my heart became pitiful. How could your heart become pitiful when you were being slugged and hit? That is the mystery, that the power that the Lord can give us, we will be able to come only through his power, only through his might, because in our natural nature, we will do what natural nature does. and that is to repeat what has been done to us. So I pray, God, that whenever we are in circumstances that are very trying, I know this is the lesson that I will carry with me. If I could just remember what they did to my Savior, I know that by holding on to his strength, my weakness can be able to be helped. This particular 10 was very difficult for me. And it's still been difficult. I am so grateful for the privilege that the Lord has given us to be able to see it. Not only see it, but seeing it manifest. The spirit of prophecy was so wonderful to go into such detail. And I'm so grateful and honored to be able to hear and bring it down so slowly for the children. It's better to learn things than as a child. Better because there's things that you cannot see as an adult. And I'm so grateful about that. If anybody else would like to share, dear ones, you may unmute your mic.
I just would like to add to that. It is indeed very heavy to go over these steps, but there's one thing that stands out to me, and I'm not sure where it goes, if it's in the fifth or sixth, but love, as we look at our Savior standing there, it is love as they pronounce him guilty. He is guilty not of his sins, but ours. From the beginning, from the first pair in Eden until now, those sins is what he was guilty of, not his. And he stood there because he knew that he was our only hope of salvation, of redemption. And that was his focus when he stood there. So if we ever have to ask, what is love? That is love.
And the Holy Spirit comes to us and allow us to understand how to have a Christ-like nature, which we ourselves have difficulty because of our nature. But he is there to console us and give us the sensation and the meaning to stand firm and become Christ-like.
Praise the Lord, and thank you so much, dear ones, for participating and sharing your experience and your thought during this chapter. Well, dear ones, we are going to continue in our study. We are sharing a thought, a poem, and also a special music from our dear brother John. If anyone would like to take a paragraph of the reading, it's taken from Revealing Christ in the Crisis. And this is taking from chapter 339. The quotes can be found in that we know him. And if anyone, I'll watch chapter by the verse. May you meet your minds to do so.
Psalm chapter 68, verse 35, King James Version. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. Amen. It is time we are endowed with power from on high. Satan and all his confederacy of evil are working with untiring vigilance to oppose good. Never was there a stronger combination formed to neutralize the lessons and teachings of Christ and to sow the seeds of infidelity in regard to the inspiration of the scriptures. This paragraph is taken from That I May Know Him, page 345, paragraph 2. And I'll go ahead and bubble down so that we can share.
Satan is moving with his power from beneath to inspire men to form alliances and confederacies of evil against light and against the word of God. Infidelity, papacy, and semi-papacy are coming close and powerful companionship with professed Christianity. The low views of inspiration, the exalting of human ideas from men called wise, are placing human talent above the divine wisdom and forms, and science so-called above the power of vital godliness. These are the signs of the last days. Let everyone who believes in Jesus Christ use his talent of voice in exalting Jesus and presenting testimonies that will magnify, honor, and adore the word of God.
The gospel makes itself known in its power in the consistent, holy, pure lives of those who are believers, hearers, and doers of the word. From That I May Know Him, page 345, paragraph 3.
Do not give to the world the impression that Christ has proved to you without form and comeliness, and that there is no beauty in him that you should desire him. Revere Christ as he is, the one altogether lovely and the chiefest among 10,000. Song of Solomon 5:16-10.
Oh, how his glory is dimmed by his professed followers because they are earthly-minded, disobedient, unthankful, and unholy. How shamefully is the Lord Jesus kept in the background. How is his mercy, his forbearance, his long-suffering, and his matchless love veiled, and his honor beclouded by the perversity of his professed followers. Lift up Jesus. Talk of his love, tell of his power. And let self be lost behind the glory of his person and the mighty power of the cross of Calvary. I may know him, page 245, paragraph 4.
Amen. This quote also can be found in 5 letter, 110-1893. And the poem is entitled, Help and Influence of the Blessed Holy Spirit. This was taken from Children Bible Activity Book, Year 4, Quarter 3, Lesson 4, page 90, from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. If anyone would like to be able to share the poem, may you unmute your mics to do so, dear ones.
It is the work of God I own to melt this stubborn heart of stone. My soul to change, my life to mend, or seek to Christ that generous friend. 'Tis God's own spirit from above, fixes our faith, inflames our love, and makes a life divine begin in wretched souls long dead in sin.
That most important gift of heaven to those that ask and seek is given, and it be of my immediate care with penitent believing prayer to seek it in a Savior's name who will not turn my hope to shame.
God from on high his grace shall pour my soul shall flourish more and more. Press on with speed from grace to grace, till glory end and crown the race.
Since then the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit, three works yet as one, glorious beyond all speech and thought, have jointly my salvation wrought. I'll join them in my songs of praise, now and through heaven's eternal days. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, dear ones, we have special music by dear brother John, instrumental, and the title of the music is called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Amen. We are going to continue in our study, dear ones. If there's any testimony that you would like to share, if not, you could be able to just hold it until the end of our study, dear ones. So next week, we will begin a new chapter of our lesson entitled Judas in our study book, The Desired Ages. If anyone of the Remnant family, mommies or daddies or guests or little ones, would like to close our review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads on our knees. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father, we come to you today. We thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessing that you have bestowed upon us this far. Thank you for all the little children participating and reading so beautifully, Father Jesus. Be with them, be with their parents as well. Father, as we move on to the next level of the day, we pray, Father, for your mercies. We pray for your guidance and also that you continue to provide us with your blessings, Father. Be with the speaker and that everything that we may say and do may be to your honor and glory. In no other name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will start a new chapter, chapter 76, entitled Judas. That will be held January 28, 2023, from a lesson 374. May the Lord bless each and every one. You have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless.